Out-of-state investing, there's a few things that matter. First of all, if you're managing it yourself, that's different than if you have third-party management. Even if you have third-party management, you need to be on the ground. You have back-end operations, but you still have the physical operations of the site. There's no such thing as a manless storage facility, by the way. That just doesn't exist.
Debunked.
Because there is fundamental things that you have to do. You have to do lock checks. You have to clean out units. You have to get them ready to sell. Mm-hmm. You have gates. You have physical things. You
people
have to
breaking into units.
People
all the
breaking
time.
Into units. You have maintenance. These are buildings. These are landscaping stuff. The question is then, how do you do the physical asset part of it? And so you have to contract that out. And then what does that look like?
There's no setting it and forgetting it.
No, there's no setting and forgetting it. Welcome everybody to Self Storage Income, and today we have a topic that is one of our most, I think, not just questions, but a lot of people are trying to understand their comfort level and the actual application of investing in storage facilities out of state, and how that works, but there's like this perceived risk aspect, which part of it's true, right? Like, but part of it's also not true at all. And I think this is one of the major hurdles for people is I want to invest close to me, but maybe there's not a lot of good deals. Mm-hmm. And I've taken kind of the middle ground, especially when starting out, where I'd rather get a good deal and feel comfortable that the deal was good enough to where it could be a little farther away. But with that same token, when we started, I didn't invest like super far away, right? I was still in the Northwest, but none of it was none of our stuff was close per se, right? Mm-hmm. It was 9 hours away. And now out West, that's in the same state, but you know, it's but it was not in the realm of we could just get there in a day, right? Mm-hmm. So driving 9-10 hours, then, or you could take a plane or something like that. But I didn't want to go too far out though. And that had more to do with not understanding maybe the cultural aspects, the how people utilize storage. So I think the fear that I felt was directly correlated to my lack of being able to underwrite properly at the time. And so I stuck with more areas and cultures and people that I knew and understood because I think I could evaluate the market.
That is smart though, because I mean, you do look at how just vastly different each storage facility is in the different markets and how we have to approach them in every way, you know, whether it's in the interaction with the tenants or it's the level of maintenance and on-site oversight that's required, the different dynamics of the weather and the different things. Like it's very
products that people want, don't want,
I think
how
it's
they
a
use it.
Healthy fear.
Yeah. And that was, so it was kind of the in-between. I didn't invest locally because the deals weren't good enough, but I didn't go into areas and too far away. And I think a lot of people, they can more understand. I think that one of the big drivers for me though, was that I didn't want to say the uncomfortableness that I have of investing far away trumps whether or not the deal is good. So I would rather take a deal that may seem like I didn't want to take a deal that wasn't as good close to me because it made me comfortable.
Yeah, you're right? Talking about the emotional aspect.
Yeah, exactly. It's like if the economics of it, if the fundamentals of it is better and it's further away, that to me is less risk than getting something that may not be as good just because it's close and because I can see it all the time. Because whether or not I see it all the time does not affect whether or not customers want it and what they'll pay for it.
Absolutely.
Right? So this is a balancing act. Now, for those that are say, okay, well, I can figure it out. What we really want to cover today, like their emotional state and how they feel comfortable with where they should be investing and if they're comfortable out of state or at least far away, then it becomes more the practical application of it. And that's what we kind of want to talk about today. So first of all, you've been going around to our facilities and are ones out of state across the Midwest and the West Coast, and you've been getting them ready for the busy season. Mm-hmm. So why don't we kind of start off talking about what you were doing, why you were doing it, and then we could talk about how that applies to on-site operations, back-end operations, and how we work that.
Mm-hmm. No, I love it, man. And it's such a key and important aspect. But and two, something I wanted to touch on is the ability to implement technology at this point, you know?
Yes.
I mean, back in the day when you guys were starting out, there was nowhere near the amount of technology there is.
No.
So, I mean, getting eyes on your property couldn't be easier.
Yes. Today, it's,
with people or technology. But all said and done, man. Yeah. So the busy season, obviously, we're looking, you know, we ramp up, you know, March, April, all the way through September, right? Busy season for storage. And, making sure that these facilities are up to standard and up to par in every single way, shape, and form, from a customer service standpoint, from a just user experience standpoint, both online, in the office, the curb appeal of the facility, what does that look like? All of the aspects of that facility and how it's running, like you said, both on the front end and the back end, you know, we're doing all of these super in-depth audits of the facilities where we're going through and we're looking at every little piece of the facility down to the baseboards in the office, you know. How do they look? Are they clean?
Yeah.
We're looking at a bunch of different metrics on the operations side as well. You know, how efficiently are we getting auctions performed? How efficiently are we getting people through the lead capture process and getting them closed? How quickly are we following up on leads? All of those different aspects we're going through, we're auditing, we're looking at them, we're training the employees. And also setting that baseline for those employees as well, getting on site and showing them, hey, yeah, this is the standard for this certain activity or for this certain aspect of your facility, where it, you know, day to day, it might get easy to forget about some of the important things, or maybe you just have somebody that's just not willing to perform, that you might have to make decisions to either try to train that individual or find somebody who can perform that task at a better, better output. So, a lot of what we're doing is just getting on site. We're making sure that things are up to standard. And one of the fun parts about this whole thing is if we see certain things that aren't up to standard or there's certain things that we can fix while we're there on site, dude, we're putting the gloves on and we're going to work and we're doing it. And one of the big pieces of value to that as well is being able to show your team that, you know, we're not just the home office or the, you know, corporate level individuals sitting in our quote unquote ivory tower, you know, and just telling everybody else what to do. You know, we're showing up on site and actually performing the work and showing that, like, we're there to support them and walk them through not only, showing them what the standards are, but actually, like, helping get their facilities to those standards and helping them show, you know, how they can just maintain those over time. So when we're showing up to these properties, we're looking at everything. We're looking at the signage. We're looking at the offices. We're looking at the units themselves, the rent-ready ones. We're looking at all of the open tickets that we have from a maintenance standpoint. We're making sure that all of our contractors are set up. We're making sure that we don't have 12 company units when we could use two. Or one. So a lot of company unit consolidation and focus on that, because again, it's easy to get caught up and say, hey, yeah, we'll keep that piece of equipment. Yeah, we'll keep that thing, and we'll keep that thing. Oh, we'll just get one more company unit. So it's good to just review those at least annually to make sure that you don't have more company units than what you need. Going through and making sure too that the employees at the staff at the site level also have the equipment that they need to be able to actually do their jobs, right? So, you know, there's times we'll show up to a facility where we'll say, hey, yeah, grab your leaf blower or grab this, grab that, and they're like, oh, well, yeah, we haven't had one. One we had was broke and this and that or whatever it is, and there could be some training moments there where it's like, hey, well, if you don't have something that you need to do this certain activity, submit this purchase request or do this certain activity and get it. Be the squeaky wheel, right?
Yep.
So there's so many opportunities there for coaching, for guiding. But a lot of these trips that we're doing, we've got these live tracking sheets that we're tracking all of the projects on, all of the to-do items, and making sure that this busy season, when somebody walks into that facility, it's like, wow, these guys are squared away.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they do the move-in process online and they're like, wow, that was great. That was super simple and easy. And just giving people an overall through and through really, really good experience because, you know, like we've talked about on all of these previous podcasts that we've done, the competition is heavy. And especially in a lot of these markets that we're in with REITs and, you know, a lot of discussions happened about how the REITs have slashed prices and all those things and how do you compete with those? User experience, customer service, value is how you compete.
Yep.
And that's really what we're out there to do, and make sure that every one of those facilities is hitting every one of those check marks. Yep. So it's been fantastic. We've really enjoyed it. And this is something that we'll just be doing annually as far as getting out on these locations, getting, you know, face to face with our staff on site. In addition, obviously, to our, you know, regular quarterly visits, monthly visits, all the meetings that happen in between those time frames, all of that, all the trainings that happen. That's another thing we've been doing, is going through and just revamping training, you know, making sure that all of our training's up to par. We've got a brand new like sales training that we're going to be reviewing actually today and getting out next week in preparation again for the busy season, making sure that our specialists, when somebody comes in, is like, oh yeah, the guy down the street has a better, you know, better price. It's like, okay, well, did Bob down the street share with you that that's actually the promotional price? And his unit, you know, 10 by 10 is actually $90 instead of 50. And next month, your rate's going to go up 50% or 100% or whatever it is. Or, hey, actually, you know what? For that same price, I can get you into this unit. It's actually a little bit larger. You're going to be paying $90 anyways. We're, you know, you're looking at a 10 by 10. We can get you in 10 by 20 for that same kind of price. You know, just working people through that process of closing people when they come in, and making sure, again, that they're equipped with the information, the tools, the resources to really succeed at the ground level, at their job of not only, you know, essentially being a property manager, running the facility, making sure its curb appeal is up to par, making sure that standards are being met, and then also providing a great customer experience, customer service, both on the phone and in person, over email, all those things. And so there's a lot of just training and management that goes into all of that. So we're just, as always, we're going through just analyzing everything, getting the data, making informed decisions, figuring out what's working, what's not, changing things as they need to be changed, updating things as they need to be updated. And just hitting it from all angles, man. Yeah. Training, on site, online, in person, all of it.
Now, so you mentioned a lot like on the ground, and when you go on the ground, it is, you know, we have our checklists, we have our audits, right? It's a very planned thing, because when you're out of state investing, you got to make sure that when you go there, the trips are obviously...
every minute counts.
Yeah, every minute counts. And you need to do, I mean, the whole gambit, right? It's like you want to see everything. And a lot what you're doing is you're checking up on what we're seeing in the back end. So what is shown on the reports? What are we seeing? What questions do we have on why not? And then getting on the ground and putting that last piece together.
It's so interesting, man, how you can look at the data on the back end, but when you get on site, you're like, that makes sense.
That makes sense.
In every way, shape, and form, whether it's, it could be an employee issue, or it could be like a tenant issue or a unit type issue, anything. Once you actually get on site and get in that market and you see what's going on, it could be just the facility, it could be the market, it could be the tenant base, it could be a number of different things. But once you actually get there on site, a lot of times you're like, I'm not surprised that the close ratio is low here at this facility.
Yeah.
For that specific unit type or that tenant or whatever it is. So huge point there for sure. When you guys are looking at property management software for your storage facilities, there's a ton of options out there, but no other option compares to Tenant Inc. Tenant Inc. is going to be your one-stop shop solution that has an amazing amount of tools that you can deploy at your fingertips to maximize the value of your facility, to operate it more efficiently, more effectively. They have an open API where you can back in almost anything you want. You own your data, and it's just an incredible solution. I can't say enough good things about these guys. Link is in the show notes. Be sure to check out Tenant Inc.
And on the back end, we try to out-of-state investing. I think there's a few things that matter. First of all, if you're managing it yourself, that's different than if you have third-party management. Even if you have third-party management, you need to be on the ground. So it's the same thing. You gotta, you need to go and you need to be doing your reviews, your checks.
There's no setting it and forgetting it.
No, there's no setting it and forgetting it. And I look at it like there's so much that we can control on the back end now that we never could before, prior, right? Like that customer acquisition process, we can actually see, we can look at data. So like you mentioned, we can track a lot of this stuff. So we're seeing things. We just may not see a corresponding reason why. So that close ratio, right? We need it. So we work on the customer experience on the back end online, tracking them through from the time they called, went to the website, right? All of that. And then we also can track everything from lots of, if you have like keyless entry systems. You can track everything the customer's doing, but gates, when they're coming in, the payments, right, all that. So it gives you a pretty good picture today, which we just didn't have 5-6 years ago, right?
It's crazy.
And now it is really like, okay, I know that I can go there. And then if I just spent a day on site, like you can already get everything. You know what you're looking for when you show up, you know. And so it makes it a lot easier to do. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't obviously go on site and we rely only on the back end. It doesn't matter if you have it in a local area and you can go there every day. That back end still matters, because that is the way that we track and analyze things. That's also how we increase our customer acquisition. That's how we do revenue management. All of that is not happening on the facility level.
No, the back end is the decision-making data,
yes.
You know, telling you, okay, yeah, we need to raise rates or decrease this or do that. That is absolutely imperative.
Yep. And then the on the ground is the product.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at the product and how it's being presented and how customers are using it, all of that, that's where, you know, things make sense. And I think what happens is, and has happened to us as well, it happens to other things, is what we're hearing from on the ground and what we're seeing in the numbers aren't adding up. Mm-hmm. Like, wait, this doesn't make sense. Like either a manager or a third party company, they're saying, no, this is happening. And no, this is all good. Everything else. And you're looking at the numbers and you're like, but that's not what I'm seeing. And then, like you said, you go on site and you're like, oh, okay, now I see why, right? Like, you know, what this issue was happening on this building, and, or, you know, we had this issue and that was curbing this customers, or they weren't coming here. Like, you can really fill in those gaps quick, but it also means that you don't have to be there all the time.
No, and you can test those processes too. Again, going back to the technology piece, you can test that online move-in process.
Yeah.
You can test it and see how smooth it is for you, for your team.
Yep.
It's one of those things, again, like another key piece, trust but verify, right? Make sure that you're getting the information, but verifying it on site, being intimately involved with the facility and really understanding you know, what the facility looks like, where it's like, how it's laid out, all of those little pieces that you just don't see from far away. There's so much value in that. You have to get on site. You have to know exactly what the facility looks like, where the company units are located. Just for example, we had a facility that we were just at this week. The company unit was like across the entire facility. And we're like, so you're gonna, like the specialist or the manager there on site's gonna get in their car, drive over to that unit, like park their car outside of a unit, like block another unit or whatever that is, and then grab like the golf cart to go around and do their stuff and do their maintenance stuff. Like, they're not doing that. So we ended up shifting where the maintenance unit was located, transitioned a bunch of the equipment over, got rid of like a couple more additional company units that we had that we didn't need, consolidated. I mean, that's just one simple little thing that will make that manager or that employee's life a million times easier at the facility level and allow them to just step out the back door, grab their cart and go. Like, they don't have to worry about their car. They don't have to, you know, go across the facility. Just those little tiny things that create a ton of efficiency day to day over time, huge value. And you wouldn't know that unless you're just, unless you got on site and actually physically looked at these things and not only seen them, but actually experienced them.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. 100%. Absolutely. So, I think it's important too, if you don't have a manager on site, the process in which you are having checkups on the site. So if there's not a manager on the site, then you may have it out, Steve, but you need to still, here's the things that you have to do. You have back-end operations, which is way more than it used to be, but you still have the physical operations of the site. There's no such thing as a manless storage facility, by the way.
That just
doesn't exist.
Debunked,
because there is fundamental things that you have to do. You have to do lock checks. You have to clean out units. You have to get them ready to sell. Mm-hmm. You have gates. You have physical things. You
people
have to
breaking into units.
People
all the
breaking
time.
Into units. You have maintenance. These are buildings. These are landscaping stuff. You have to check your rent roll with your actual locked units to make sure other people aren't in there. Making sure that you're not having people living in there. You can't have a manless storage facility. So the question is then, if you don't have a storage facility that's big enough or that you can afford a manager, or you don't want to have a manager, period, that's fine too. But then how do you do the man part of it, mm-hmm. meaning manless, meaning you are, how do you do the physical asset part of it? And so you have to contract that out. And then what does that look like? You know, I think that weekly is a minimum.
Absolutely.
And so you got to have somebody on the site for half a day weekly going through all these things, because you have to do auctions. You have to do mm-hmm. right, all the stuff and getting it. It should be very much a process that is done with verification through pictures, through mm-hmm. video, through check. They need to upload that and they need to send it to you so you can see what's happening every single week on site. Make sure that that's matching up with the numbers, right? You can't have, you need to make sure the site looks good, the gates are working, that the auctions that need, or the units that need to be auctioned are cleaned out and rented, because if not, you don't have products. So mm-hmm. you wait too long and this is a lot of money you're missing out on, right? And this really hurts the bottom line. So you've got to make sure that that weekly person that's on site is really keeping those things up and moving. It's for really, sure. really important.
Again, trust but verify, man. If there's one thing that I think would be one of my biggest takeaways from, let's say, like the past 12 months, has been that in and of itself, the whole trust but verify piece. Because it's pretty easy, whether it's a contractor or an employee, to just trust yeah. and say, they got it. Yeah, they got it done. There's a lot of times where it hasn't been done.
Yep.
More often than not, unfortunately.
Yes.
And so I'm glad you actually brought this up, talking about the photos and the verification, all these things, because what we do with our maintenance team is anytime we've got a project going on, they get photo confirmation from contractors on everything that gets yes. done. There's no, oh yeah, the fence is done. Like, pay the invoice. It's like, nope, cool, send the photos. Send the videos, let's jump on a call, let's talk about it. Like,
I mean, have the manager go out and look, get third party exactly. verification.
Yep. It's a whole process that we go through to verify that everything has been done. And we've also implemented a process for our employees where once a month, our site level employees once a month will go out. They have these facility maps that they use, and they go to a individual marker throughout the facility on this map, and they take photos in certain directions and essentially show the facility and just say, hey, here's the facility, here's what it looks like. Because it takes no time at all for a facility to go from looking great to looking like trash.
Like,
it takes one wind storm.
Like, exactly.
It takes a couple weeks of not managing the lawn. Yep. It happens so fast.
And it looks abandoned.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it literally looks abandoned.
It looks like a total junkyard. And it happens so fast and it's so costly. Mm-hmm. If you don't pay for that management on the front end, you're going to pay for it on the back end 100%. Trying to get it back up to standard. And it takes longer and it's a freaking nightmare.
Yep.
So just put the processes in place to manage it from the get-go. But they go out once a month, they do those surveys and send all the photos in to show the facility, to show what it looks like. We use those to help prioritize, to issue corrective actions on employees. We use those to essentially be able to get those eyes on site. Not only, we've got our regionals that are going around to these different regions and checking in weekly with the facilities and looking at them from all these angles. They're also doing their forms once a month, their survey forms, in addition to the once per month forms that the on-site, staff is doing. So again, we're just trusting but verifying in a number of different ways. And it's just one of those things that if you're not actively tracking and managing those functions, almost guaranteed it's just not going to get done. It's not. You can sit there and you can send an email, you can have all the phone calls in the world and talk about how important all these things are, but if you're not getting face to face with people, if you're not getting information from them directly in some way, shape or form that really proves and shows what reality looks like on the ground, you cannot guarantee that anything's getting done to the degree that you want.
Out of state investing, accountability is of the utmost importance.
Accountability.
And if you just can't, it's hoping and praying, and you're investing all this money, your customers, because it spirals down quickly.
Oh, so
customers
fast.
Leave, then you don't have money to do the fixes and replacements mm-hmm. that you need, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, I can't get new customers because that it can get out of control quick. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're on top of it and you're verifying, you're going doing random on-site inspections, so nobody knows when you're going to show up, and then you have a process to verify. You can keep on top of it, no problem. Sure. Then out-of-state investing is easy. You have your process, you have somebody that goes to the site, or you have a manager on site, right? And you are walking through those processes, you're verifying, and then you randomly show up to confirm, and it happens, right? And it will, and everything will be okay. And then what you watch the back end, you watch the numbers to see if any red flags start to pop up, right? Like, okay, this is a time of year where occupancy should be going up. It's stagnant, but I know we're having people come to the site. I know people are coming in, so we have interest. What's happening here, right? You have like, why are we having more move-outs than normal? You know, you can see what's happening on the site. These are little things that should draw questions that you need to then confirm on the front end or on the physical side.
Exactly, because like you're saying, a lot of times it indicates that there's a problem. Right. And a lot of times there's, thankfully, there's a solution to it, you know?
Yeah.
So often too, I think our fear is that there's all these uncontrollable factors that's like, oh, well, yeah, that's just the market, or it's just this, or it's easy to say those things.
Yeah.
But a lot of times if you're getting on site and you're actually looking at what's happening and you're comparing again the numbers to the facility, a lot of times it's a problem that you can solve.
Yes.
And I very rarely, with all of our assets, seen any problem that we can't solve.
Yep. 100%.
It's pretty awesome.
Yes, exactly.
It's never been like it's just the way it is. It's just the market. It's, yeah, we have certain things like,
of course.
Like let's say RV units for one thing. Like we've seen those slow down a little bit. Like that's just, they're not moving a ton. I mean, there's certain market factors that impact us. I'm not saying that that doesn't happen, but when it comes to like a real problem, it's mostly comes down to some operational management issue that is totally within our control.
100%. I couldn't agree more. So everybody, out-of-state investing, trust but verify, have your processes, make sure if you don't have a manager, somebody's showing up to do all the things that need to be done, that you have a system to make sure and verify that they are doing those things, that you're not letting units go unrented, that you're not clearing them out, you're not auctioning off, that delinquencies are being paid, that you have it set up so if somebody doesn't pay, they're immediately locked out of the facility and out of their unit so you don't get mounting delinquents. But at the end of the day, it's totally possible, manageable, right? And it's also important to know that these things that we're talking about, we do the same thing if they're close to us. So, I mean, we have facilities that are close to us that I haven't seen in 6 months, even though they're just across town, right? 30-minute drive. But it's like, I don't need to because they're being operated the same way as one in Oklahoma is. So
true.
I can, it's the same thing. So whether I see the one in Oklahoma or not, and that's how it should be. And so you can do it and have it and have the outcome be the exact same. So,
So find the good deals and just execute, man.
Exactly.
Don't just rely on distance and emotion.
That's right. 100%. All right. Hope that helps everybody. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.